Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this final Wednesday of January. The final day of January, as a matter of fact. Got a pretty good show lined up for you here today. We're going to hear from Hunter Bumgarde from 97.3 The Game as we'll get more into the Rhys Hoskins signing and also what the Brewers have in store for 2024. We'll also get into the Packers offseason guide, including some news that broke just a few minutes ago. It seems like the Packers have their new defensive coordinator. I'll reveal to you who that is at the end of the hour. We're also going to go over some Hatchet highlights. Unfortunately, no Hatchet interview for us today. I know, but you know what? You're going to get a double dose of Hatchet highlights for today.
Brilliant. I have absolutely no idea what's going on.
But we're going to begin in Milwaukee with the Bucks, shall we? Here we go.
With 5.2 left. No timeouts left for the Bucks. Here comes Dame. 3 seconds. Dame pulls for the win.
So yes, in case you were living under a rock, and I guess you could be a king of that rock.
It's good to be king.
The Milwaukee Bucks have bought in Doc Rivers as their brand new head coach to replace Adrian Griffin, who they fired last week. We got into it a little bit with Alex Stroph, obviously from ESPN Madison last week. And they began the era, unfortunately, with a loss to the defending world champion Nuggets, 113-107. And to me, watching that game on Tuesday, because I go back and I watch the games after the game is done, all right? Like, obviously, I had a busy week last week doing 4 different broadcasts at, you know, a few different venues. So I just wanted to, you know, sit back and rewatch the game. That's what I ended up doing this past weekend. And it felt weird, really, really weird to see Doc Rivers on the Bucks sideline. Because we're used to seeing him on the other sideline with Philadelphia, Boston, the Clippers, all of these guys. Now, here's the thing with Doc Rivers. He is very, very reputable as a coach. He is one of, in my opinion, the greatest coaches in NBA history. He's got over 1,000 wins on the season. He is 9th all-time in career wins, and now he's 2nd among active coaches. The only one that's ahead of him currently is Greg Popovich, who's still coaching in San Antonio. Defense is a specialty, and that is the biggest reason why the Bucks decided to bring him on as their head coach to replace Adrian Griffin, because it was clear that the defense wasn't working out under Griffin, because Adrian Griffin's defensive style is perimeter defense. I think that that defense would have worked if they had not traded Jrue Holiday. If they kept Jrue Holiday instead of trading for Damian Lillard, I think it would have worked. But considering that his emphasis is perimeter defense and then let the shot blockers do the work, that's how Kawhi Leonard was able to win a title in Toronto. That's how Marc Gasol was able to win a title in Toronto, all those guys. If Milwaukee plays defense the way they did against Denver, if they play that way, they will be fine. It was an off night offensively. The Bucks, for what it's worth, have the number 2 ranked offense in the NBA. The Bucks have the number 2 ranked offense in the NBA. Their defense was in the 20s. Doc Rivers came in to help improve that while also keeping that offensive intensity up. Their defense held their own. Again, you can only do so much against Nikola Jokic. You can only do so much to try and shut down Jamal Murray. The one thing that you needed to do was just outshoot them, and unfortunately, they couldn't. And again, the offense had an off night. They still shot 40% from three-point range, but they were 42% from the field and 76% from three-point range. Giannis had a big night, 29 points, 12 rebounds. But this is what I think Doc Rivers should do, and I'm going to go ahead and focus in on Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard was brought into Milwaukee to win an NBA title. This window is currently at 3 years. If Doc Rivers does not win a title in Milwaukee, with Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo, it's a failure. It is officially a failure. And listen, I think that Lillard has had a good year. He's not the defensive specialist, and I know that everybody's going to say, where's his defense? He's never been known as a defensive stopper. Neither has Malik Beasley, who's their starting two guard. The defenders on that team are Giannis, Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez. That's it. They're going to need to make a trade for a 3-and-D guy before the trade deadline, which I believe is at the end of next week. But Damian Lillard has to step up. Giannis is going to be fine as a leader, but Lillard has to step up and play a lot better. Lillard is averaging over 20 points a game, but we're used to Lillard dropping 30 a game. And the Bucks between Giannis and Dame scoring 60 a game. They are going to need to score 60 a game between the two of them if they're going to have a shot to win an NBA title. Giannis is pulling his. He's right now, as a matter of fact, leading the NBA in points scored this season. But they are going to need to have their second superstar step up. And let me just go ahead and frame it with this. All eyes are going to be on that Bucks team. Not just this season, but in the offseason. What are they going to do if they don't win the title? What are they going to do if they don't make it past the second round? What are they going to do if Giannis Antetokounmpo ends up getting hurt? What are they going to do if Damian Lillard all of a sudden wants out of Milwaukee after 1 year and wants to go play in Miami, which, by the way, the Heat are struggling mightily ever since they traded for Terry Rozier. If Milwaukee's defensive rating, though, is top 10 under Doc Rivers from here to the end of the season, they've got a legitimate shot to win the title. The biggest thing is, how will Doc Rivers perform in the postseason? He has not made it back to the conference finals since 2012, when he was a coach at Boston and they ended up losing in 7 games to the big three known as LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh in Miami. That was when he had Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett. He hasn't made it back to the conference finals since then. He hasn't made it back to the NBA finals since they won his lone title back in 2008 with that same core over Kobe's Lakers. Doc has got to exercise his demons in the postseason if the Bucks are going to make a deep run. Bucks are down in Portland tonight for Damian Lillard's return. Tip-off is at 9 o'clock. We'll go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we'll listen to what Hunter Baumgart thinks about the Brewers signing Rhys Hoskins. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Hopefully the weather will be cooperating soon, making some safe ice for fishing. Well, when the ice is ready, you'll be ready after a stop at the Good Stewart Express of Tomahawk. Select from the popular brand of ice augers. Check out the selection of fish locators. Keep warm with Eskimo ice fishing jackets and bibs with a size for men and women, plus lacrosse boots and ice armor gloves and mittens. The Good Stewart Express also offers live bait and a nice selection of tip-ups. The Good Stewart Express, North 4th Street, Tomahawk, your ice fishing headquarters.
Let Carrier provide quiet, efficient heating all winter long with innovative solutions for premium comfort available at Hilgi's LP Gas. And for a healthier home, add the Infinity Air Purifier with an advanced filter that can capture and kill select viruses and bacteria. Learn the science and its impact on coronavirus at carrier.com/purifier. Hilgi's LP Gas, proudly serving our Northwoods area since 1958. Hilgi's, for your healthy heating comfort. Call 453-3505 or visit Hilgi's.com. Carrier, turn to the experts.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hour is Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
It's tax time, a great time to bring on custom accounting services to your team. This is Marge Cook. Whether you have a business or personal return, custom accounting services will provide the highest level of service for your tax preparation, bookkeeping, or payroll. With custom accounting services as your trusted advisor, we are financial partners. just as committed to your success as you are, providing professional service so you can relax and take the stress out of tax time. Stop by Custom Accounting Services at 208 West Mohawk Drive or view our website, margecook.com, or call 715-453-5248 for your appointment or any questions.
Welcome back to the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you. Good to have you along on this Wednesday evening. And right back in the chair with me is the one and only on the line, Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game. Hunter, welcome back and thank you once again for joining me.
Yeah, no problem, Alex. Always good to be on with you.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and get right in this here, Hunter. Brewers dropping a bit of a bombshell last week with all the breaking news that took place in Wisconsin sports. This is the one that we finally get to dive in deep and talk about. Rhys Hoskins signing a two-year, $34 million contract with the Brewers to become their first baseman for 2024 at least and hopefully further on beyond. Hunter, let me start off by asking you, what do you think about this signing?
Well, I think it's a big signing, and I think it's a very significant move for the Milwaukee Brewers. I think it's their biggest move of the offseason, and I think it's when it comes to players on the field. Obviously, the manager change is big, but when you talk about player movements, this is the biggest signing, and what maybe could have been their biggest signing. I mean, when you look at the position of need at first base, I mean, they didn't have really anyone. Jake Bowers is a guy who's, you know, been around, who was with the Yankees, and they signed him. I mean, okay, he's an average player at best, and maybe you get a lightning in a bottle type year from him like you have in years past with different guys. But that doesn't move the needle a lot. This moves the needle. This is a guy who's a power hitter, who's a thump in that lineup, who can hit cleanup for you at first base, something the Brewers have lacked consistency in. Now, I don't know how long Rhys will necessarily be here. It's almost like a prove-it deal coming off the torn ACL last year. Mm-hmm. He didn't play at all, so we'll see. It's a year, and then he can opt out after that, but we'll see how this year goes and deal with that later. But for this season, what it's significant, it tells you that they're going for it. Tells you that they are ready to compete, and the fact that they kept Corbin Burns and they kept Willy Adames and they kept the pieces together with this team and mm-hmm. then added a Rhys Hoskins to the lineup, I think it shows you that they want to be competitive this year and win this division.
Yeah, certainly. We'll get into Adames and Burns later on in a second here. Now, Rhys Hoskins, for those of you that don't know, if you didn't see him play last year, that's because he was hurt. He tore his ACL, but the last time he was on the field was 2022 with the Phillies. The Phillies went to the World Series that year where they lost in six games to the Houston Astros, and that year he had 30 home runs and 74 RBIs. Could you see Rhys Hoskins turning to form this year, Hunter?
Oh, I could for sure, and that's the exciting part there's a little bit of, you know, trepidation with that injury, right? You never know how people are going to respond after an injury. There's, you know, countless examples in sports of guys who just are never the same after an injury.
Yes.
I don't see that happening with this, in the fact that, look, he tore his ACL late March of last year. This is going to be a full year by the time regular season rolls around. So he's going to have plenty of time. He says he's ready to go. He said he shouldn't have many limitations, maybe just a plan to, you know, ease him in a little bit in spring training. But once March 28th hits in New York, I think it's going to be a full goal for Rhys Hoskins, which is so big for the team. So
yes.
I think it's, you know, obviously with it coming off any injury, you have a little trepidation, but overall I think he's going to be a significant part of this team.
Again, talking here with Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game, executive producer. Hunter, now with Hoskins on this team, you have an infield that's going to consist of him. You got Bryce Terang. You mentioned Willy Adames. He's going to be coming back. That third base spot is still a question mark. They'll probably go with either Andrew Monasterio or Tyler Black. How good do you think this infield can be this year?
Yeah, it can be really good. I mean, it just depends on obviously what type of years each player has. Bryce Turang is a guy who's really good defensively, but offensively really struggled last year. But the good news was they stuck with him all season, so he has a year of major league experience under his belt now.
Yes.
And can I think he briefly went down to AAA for a little while, but otherwise most of the season he was the second baseman. So he's used to major league hitting now. He can go through an off season where he knows he's going to be at the major league level. And then be your opening day second baseman, and then go from there. Like I'm excited to see what he can do in year two. Obviously, Willy Adames is looking for a bounce back year. I mean, it's not like he had a horrible year last year, but it was down for Willy Adames standards. So he's trying to have a bounce back year, especially going into free agency. And then the third baseman, like you said, that's a question mark. And now there are guys that are still out there. Funny enough, of the top eight third base free agents still out there, five of them have played for the Brewers, including your Josh Donaldson, your Gene Segura. There's other guys there too. There's a bunch of them who played for the Brewers, and do you want him back? I don't know if you do. Matt Chapman is the guy that's the top right now. He's still the top third base target. You're going to have to spend money again, right? You're going to have to go in the Rhys Hoskins range if you're going to get Matt Chapman. And if you do, that would be wild. I don't see that happening, just in the fact that they already spent on Rhys Hoskins. And we know how the Brewers are, and I think small markets have to operate the way that the Brewers do. But if they would spend, I mean, then you'd have a really good, you know, obviously corners and Hoskins and Chapman. But I don't think that's going to happen. What I think will probably happen is, like you said, Monasterio. And then you give Tyler Black an opportunity, because Tyler Black's a highly touted prospect coming in at third base. And I don't know if he makes the opening day roster, but I think he's going to, you know, impact the club throughout this season. And then if you were to sign a Chapman or a guy or a Gio Urshela, who's kind of the second tier of third baseman there, if you were to do that, then you're really delaying Tyler Black, and you're saying, okay, Tyler Black's most likely not going to play hardly at all this
year. Yeah.
And how is that for your organization? So I'm not crazy on that, and the fact that I would love for them to develop him a little bit with these other young guys they got in the outfield.
You know, you look here, you mentioned the outfield as well. You've got, you know, you got Joey Weimer. Garrett Mitchell will be coming back off of his injury from last season. Christian Yelich is still there. He'll probably be, I think, the designated hitter this year. With this team currently constructed, how far do you think this Brewers team can go under Pat Murphy?
It's a question mark in that we don't know what Pat Murphy is going to be like as far as manager and how successful he'll be. And we may not know that for years. I don't know. But if you look at this team and where they were last year and what they lost, really the only big losses were Brandon Woodruff, right, who's not on the team anymore.
Yes.
But he was out for most of the season anyway last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then you lose your manager and Craig Counsell. And obviously Craig Counsell, highest paid manager for a reason, right? He was, you know, that big contract and everything.
Yep.
For a reason. It's because he is such a good manager. Now, he's also 1-9 in his last 10 playoff games. So, like, maybe the change is what the Brewers needed. It's a weird way to look at it. Maybe I'm talking myself into it now that we're two, 3 months away from Counsell going to the Cubs. But if you look at this team, you know, when Counsell left, I figure, okay, they're probably going to go into some retool, rebuild type of mode. Not a full tear it down rebuild.
Right.
Maybe it's probably a trade of Corbin Burns, right? Get prospects. You're 1 year left of Corbin Burns. Get prospects while you can. And then go into this season and see if you can just make something out of the young guys. Well, they kept Corbin Burns. They kept Willy Adames, too. And they added Rhys Hoskins, which makes me think they want to be competitive this year. And when you haven't lost much out of last year, yes, you're relying on a significant amount of young guys in your outfield and in your rotation, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after Burns and Peralta, you're looking at, you know, a Gasser or a, you know, another year, Colin Ray or some of the, you know, Wade Miley's back. So can you get what you got last year out of Wade Miley? We'll see. He's only getting older.
Yep.
There are some significant question marks. But this team can win the division. Now, do I think the Cardinals are going to be as bad as they were last year? No.
No.
I think they're going to be better.
Right.
I mean, the Cubs have, like, the same roster. They really haven't went out and spent it all. They got Hector Neris, a good reliever, last week. But other than that, they really haven't spent as much as I thought they would after getting Craig Counsell. Maybe they get Bellinger back. I would think he returns. He's still a free agent, but I think he returns. And the Reds and Pirates will be fine, but I don't think they're to the Brewers' level. So overall, I think they can still win this division and then see what happens in the playoffs. Baseball playoffs are so fluky. Just get in and see what happens.
Definitely. We saw the Arizona Diamondbacks make the World Series last year. We saw the Texas Rangers win their first World Series title in franchise history. You never know what is going to happen with baseball playoffs. It really, really is funky.
Oh, it is, 100%. There's a couple of examples there, and there's so many more. I mean, the Dodgers spent more money than you could have ever imagined last year with Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman, and then they lose in their first series. And Padres spent a bunch of money. They didn't do anything. Like, they got to the NLCS, I think, once, but didn't get to the World Series.
Right.
Like, these teams spend a lot of money, and it doesn't always mean a championship in baseball. And culture means something, and being together means something. I think that's why the Brewers were so successful in the regular season last year, was because of their culture and their clubhouse. They did better than teams like the Mets and Padres, who spent a lot of money. So I think that's going to matter. How much Murphy's able to continue that great culture from Council remains to be seen.
Right.
But I think the talent on the field is really good. They won 92 games last year. And didn't lose a lot in the offseason, so I would expect an upper 80s win team.
Again, talking here with Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game. Hunter, final question I have for you. And we batted this around quite a bit during our time together. Corbin Burns obviously staying with the team, which means him and Freddie Peralta will likely be that 1-2 punch that Milwaukee has, very similar to what they had last year. How good do you think this pitching staff can be?
It's there are some question marks in the fact that you got Burns and Peralta, right? That's your top two, and
right.
That's great. But then after that, there are some question marks. We mentioned Wade Miley's back. He's only getting older. We'll see what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Ray's back.
Mm-hmm.
He was decent last year, but can he do it again? And then Robert Gasser from AAA, I think, is going to be a part of this as well. I would think he might round out your rotation, especially since they traded Hauser. I was expecting Hauser to be your fifth guy. But now I think, Gasser is probably your fifth guy. And then maybe, someone else that, I'm not thinking of maybe comes out and is kind of that breakout. There's always that breakout, whether it be a starter or a bullpen guy that the Brewers somehow are able to find and
yes.
kind of get into their rotation and see what happens. But I think there are, if it's weird to say, because the Brewers have been so focused on pitching and defense in years past, and that's how they've won. This year, I'm a little more confident in the offense because of who they've got in that lineup and the fact that most of those young guys have a lot of, or more major league experience, obviously, than they did coming into last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the offense will be better. And I think the pitching will take a little bit of a step back, but that's only because you don't have your Woodruff, and who knows if Miley's the same and Ray's the same and those guys. And maybe Piamps or Peguero will take a step back from as dominant as they were last year. You don't know. They could be just as good. Who knows?
Yeah.
Obviously, you love Devin Williams in the ninth inning. So there are some great pieces in there, but I think there are a little more question marks coming into this season when it comes to the pitching depth. Than there was last season.
Well, obviously, it's going to be an interesting 2024. Hard to believe that pitchers and catchers report in 2 weeks for the Brewers.
Yes, 2 weeks away, and I think the first spring training game's in about 3 or 4 weeks. So, oh, man, that's just, I'm excited. I mean, I'm
yeah.
excited because this team is going to compete. I didn't necessarily think they were going to be in a competing mode after Craig Council left. I thought with the expiring contracts, they might just unload some guys, and this might be kind of a retooling. Maybe you're a 500 baseball team, but this team's going to be ready to compete. It's going to be a fun summer. They're putting a brand new scoreboard in AmFam Field and
right.
adding one in right field, which I just saw the renderings of yesterday. Just fantastic. So this is going to be a fun summer as usual in Milwaukee.
Absolutely. Again, Breece Hoskins signing a 2-year, $34 million contract with the Brewers to be their first baseman. Pitchers and catchers for Milwaukee report in 2 weeks. Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game. Hunter, thank you very much for joining me once again.
Absolutely. Anytime, Alex.
Absolutely. Again, Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game, talking Brewers with us. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more of the Sports Q right after this here on WJJQ.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
We all have hopes, dreams, and goals for ourselves and our family. This is Rich Teggy with Wealth Strategy Group. Financial goals are no different than any other goal. It all starts with a plan. We know the importance of a solid financial plan focused on what's most important to you. We listen and take the time to understand your vision and create a strategy to pursue your specific dreams and goals. We would appreciate the opportunity to discuss your goals, understand your financial situation, and create a plan tailored to reaching your desired retirement lifestyle. Wealth Strategy Group is here to provide the assistance you need. Call us today at 453-0722 or access us on the web at wsginvest.com or stop by our office on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday and final day of January. Before we go into CBS News, we got some breaking news coming out of Green Bay. And the breaking news is that the Packers have found their defensive coordinator for the 2024 season. The Green Bay Packers did a little bit of an interesting hire. They hired a college head coach, believe it or not, to become the new defensive coordinator up in Green Bay. And that person's name is Jeff Hafley. Jeff Hafley is Green Bay's new defensive coordinator. So just a quick update on Hafley. We'll go a little bit more into it when we go into our Packer offseason preview here. Jeff Hafley is currently 44 years old. He was last the head coach at Boston College. There he compiled a 22-26 record with a 12-22 ACC record. They won the Fenway Bowl in 2023. Before then, he actually bounced around the NFL quite a bit. He was an assistant defensive backs coach in Tampa Bay. He was a defensive backs coach in Cleveland, San Francisco, and also at Ohio State. And he was also the head coach of Boston College. So this is his first NFL defensive coordinator job. We'll get a little more into him as well. But if the defensive backs is his specialty, then Green Bay should be in for a little bit of a defensive overhaul. That's going to do it for the first part of the Sports Q here on WJJQ. Coming up on the other side of CBS News and our weather forecast, we'll have Hatchet Girls basketball and hockey highlights from the games this past week. We'll also sit down and talk about the Badger men's basketball team and how they have hit the number 6 spot in the top 10. And we'll also go over our Packer offseason recap, and we'll recap the NFL Conference Championship games from this past weekend. That's all coming up on the second half of the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ, 40 degrees and 6 o'clock. Time for the latest update from CBS News.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods, you're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
Is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. The remains of 3 American service members killed by a militant drone strike in Jordan will be returned to the U.S. soon. CBS's Linda Kenyon has more from the White House.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says President Biden will be there.
This Friday, the President and the First Lady are honored to attend the dignified transfer of the 3 U.S. Army soldiers we lost in Jordan.
That's a tough day. That is a tough day.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says while the President will be at Dover Air Force Base, he will not deliver remarks.
There is a ritual to it, and it's very somber and it's very solemn, and that's not the place for speeches.
The president has vowed, however, to respond to the attack at the right time. Senators questioned social media CEOs today on Capitol Hill about what their platforms are doing to protect young users from dangerous content and sexual predators. CBS's Natalie Brand also talked to parents about their concerns.
You know, it seems like these big tech companies, they know exactly how to make it work for them, and the parents don't know what's going on.
Tammy Rodriguez's 11-year-old daughter, Selena, died by suicide after what her mom calls an extreme addiction to Snapchat and Instagram.
The White House has called it a crisis. eBay will pay $59 million to settle with the Justice Department over thousands of pill press machines that it sold on its platform. The feds say the machines can be used to make counterfeit pills that look just like prescription pills and lace them with substances like fentanyl, the drugs fueling the deadliest overdose crisis in U.S. history. A state of emergency over fentanyl in Oregon.
Governor Tina Kotek's been working on it for months.
The state, the city, and the county, each government needs to declare a state of emergency around the fentanyl crisis. So we're going to do that.
Every jurisdiction has an incident commander to lead the government's work on the fentanyl emergency.
That's KLX reporter Annette Newell. The first of 2 big storms hit California today. The second expected to move in on Sunday. But Brian Ferguson with the Governor's Office of Emergency Services tells us both will bring risks of flooding and mudslides.
There's an intensive effort underway today to do outreach to those groups and to really have the state partner with locals to get the word out.
The NBA is making major changes to its draft this year in New York. For the first time ever, it's moving to a two-day format with round one on June 26th and round two on the 27th. Last year's draft ran nearly 5 hours. Boomer has it. And Adele announced today that she is heading overseas for a mini concert series in Munich, Germany this summer. Presale tickets will be available next week. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In this market, you'll find Fisher Investments is different than other money managers.
Different how? Aren't we all just looking for the hottest stocks?
Nope. We use diversified strategies to position our clients' portfolios for their long-term goals.
You don't just provide cookie-cutter portfolios?
No. We tailor our clients' portfolios to their goals and needs.
But you still sell investments that generate high commissions for you, right?
No, we don't sell commission-based products. We're a fiduciary, the highest standard of care for a financial advisor. It means we're obligated to act in our clients' best interest.
So when do you make more money? Only when your clients make more money?
Yep, we have one transparent management fee structured so we do better when our clients do better.
Sounds like you really look out for your clients.
We do, because our priority is helping them achieve a comfortable retirement. That might be why most of our clients come from other money managers. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments in securities involve the risk of loss.
A man's facing charges for grisly crimes in Philadelphia. KYW reporter Tim Jimenez.
In a single-family home in Levittown, a community close to an hour northeast of Philadelphia, police say 32-year-old Justin Moan killed his father, Michael Moan, and cut his head off. And police say he held his father's head up in a YouTube video. He says his 68-year-old father was a federal worker, and in the clip, he ranted about the federal government, immigration, and conspiracies. His mother made the grisly discovery and called police Tuesday night, and he was not there. Investigators tracked him down about 100 miles away at a Pennsylvania National Guard facility. Police say he was armed but arrested without incident.
Paris is downsizing its summer's opening ceremony at the Olympics. The prime minister cutting the original crowd size in half, saying that they're only allowing 300,000 people to attend in July. Athletes will arrive via boat on the River Seine. Monica Rick, CBS.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time, 6:06 p.m. and a good Wednesday evening. I'm Alex Cook. You're tuning into the Sports Q on WJJQ. 40 degrees here in the Northwoods under clear skies here this evening. We'll get into our Hatcher girls basketball highlights from their win over Northland Lutheran. But first, here's our weather forecast.
The forecast for northern Wisconsin for tonight, partly cloudy skies. Some scattered fog may develop with a low temperature near 30. The wind's relatively light. Fog lifting tomorrow, then turning partly sunny, high 41. North wind becoming northeast at 5 to 10. Friday, plenty of sunshine, high 38. Saturday, partly sunny, high 43. Sunday, sunny or partly cloudy, high in the mid-40s. And Monday, little change. We'll see some sunshine with a high near 44. I'm meteorologist Tony Schumacher from the WJJQ Weather Center.
Basketball is live and on the air. A very good Monday evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alex Cook. Great to have you with us here. We're coming to you from back at the Hatchet House here in Tomahawk, where tonight we have a non-conference showdown as your Tomahawk Hatchets take on the Northland Lutheran Wildcats. And right back in the booth with me is the one and only Terry Tim. Welcome back, my friend.
Hey, here we go, huh, Alex?
Yeah, here we go. Gets it back out. Albert fakes the elbow jumper, gets it to Balky, back to Albert, cross to Auburn, takes a dribble, goes up, right hand shot is good from Bray Auburn. First two of the night for the Hatchets goes to the 5-11 sophomore, 2-0.
And Tomahawk looking to go inside, like we talked about. That time three had two touches on one possession.
Zerd thinks about a three, instead swings it. Bacco, low block, quick pass to Balky, back to Bacco, just inside the arc. Now one bounces off the front of the rim. Oberg, offensive rebound, back up and in. 4-0 Tomahawk, 2 minutes in. Hunkel has to get rid of it. That pass goes off the foot of Rollin and scooped up by Albert. She's out running. Claire Albert driving down the lane, goes up and lays it in. Her first two tonight, 6-0 Tomahawk, 13:37 to go, first half.
That's all right. She's aggressive and assertive. We need that out of her.
Yeah. Here is Shannon Schmidt, North of Lutheran, still without a point. Rollins jumper blocked by Lydia Zert out of bounds. Flight 24, you're clear for landing. What a block from Zert. Rebound deflected, grabbed by Vacco. Looking, she'll swing it back to Zert on the wing. Zert looking, lobs it to Albert. Backing in, looking, turnaround shot. That one bounces off the rim and drops in. Boy, this might be a Freya Albert game. She's got 6-11-0 start for the Hatchets. Boy, this Hatchet defense is performing amazing here in this first half. Here's Albert driving wild. Shot no good. Rebound grabbed by Bulky. She'll take it back out. Tomahawk reset. Vacco, three left wing. Kiana Vacco from downtown. Vacco's got 16-0 Hatchets here with 6:51 to go first half. Albert gets it over to Long. Now to Vacco, left wing. Vacco, bounce pass inside to a cutting Albert. She goes up. Albert's layup is good. Claire with 6-18-1 Tomahawk here in this first half. 5:16 to go.
And I like it. Claire is getting into her bucket, honey.
Yes, she is. Here is Bulky. She will blow right by the defender. Nice pass inside. Albert's layup is good. Claire's got 8 in this first half. 20-3 Hatchets. 4:06 to go in this first half. Here comes Albert. She splits between the two defenders. Albert driving down the lane. Kick in the corner. Swan from just inside the arc. That one no good. Rebound grabbed off the bounce by Swan. Gets it back to Zert. Zert drives along the baseline. Goes up her layup. That one is good for Lydia Zert. She gets her first two of the night. 31-11 Hatchets. 12:12 to go here in the second half. Looking. Tries to find someone. Back to Albert. Right wing. She'll go to the left. Looks to operate on Fairbanks. Albert blows by Fairbanks. Goes up her layup. It's good off the glass. Oh, what a finish by Claire Albert. She's got 13, 33-13. Here comes Albert. Go ahead.
Let's let that clock tick a little bit here on this possession.
I'm going to throw it in her pocket. You got it. Kiana Vacco with a triple. Third hatchet to hit double figures tonight. She's got 11, 40-20. 3 minutes to go in this one. Lizzie Arnott with 8 seconds left. Arnott will take it across the midcourt line. And Arnott will get it over to Shaney. She'll try a three. No good, too strong. Rebound grab by Long. And there you go. Tomahawk knocks off North of Lutheran tonight. Improves to 5-11 on the season. Final score, Tomahawk 43, Northland Lutheran 28.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
And Chatham Country Club offers 2 state-of-the-art golf simulators to keep you swinging your clubs during these winter months. Call 405-331-30 to schedule your tee time on one of the sims. Go online to find the simulator hours and make sure you follow Inshallah on Facebook for monthly simulator hours. Inshallah Country Club, 405-331-30 and online at InshallahCC.com. It's the Inshallah Country Club. Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboard serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboard's Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboard's Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
Start something new events at Brickner Motors of Little Chicago. Take advantage of end-of-year prices on the last remaining new 2023 Chrysler Pacificas. Was $54,340, but buy it today for $56,16. Or take advantage of the standalone rate 3.9 for 60 months or 4.9 for 72 months. New 2024 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew was $54,945, but buy it today for $47,945. Or take advantage of the standalone 3.9% for 72 months when financed through CCAP Stellantis. Or lease today for $591 for 42 months, 10,000 miles per year with $1,500 due at signing. Also, during the Start Something New event, take advantage of the 10% below MSRP on many new models, including the new 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokees ICE engines at Brickner Motors. See sales for details on what models qualify. Brickner Motors of Little Chicago, minutes away for Merrill, Wausau, and Medford.
Hi, this is David Pops Duncan from Wild Rivers Group, Tomahawk. Are you looking to sell your home? Or maybe you are looking for a home of your dreams? If so, give Pops a call at 715-892-2045. That's 715-892-2045. Hope to hear from you soon. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday evening. It is 6:13. Hope you enjoyed the highlights from the Hatchet girls knocking off Northland Lutheran 43-28. The next broadcast of Hatchet girls basketball will be on Monday. We'll be doing a doubleheader with Tri-County down in Plainfield coming up Monday evening. We'll give you more details on that later on. But first, let's go ahead and dive into the NFL. Let's recap the conference championship games first. So the Super Bowl has been set. Kansas City knocked off Baltimore 17-10, and I'll just give you my very, very quick recaps, and then we'll dive in to our Packers offseason wish list. Chiefs made the Super Bowl for the fourth time in 5 years with a 17-10 victory over Baltimore. Patrick Mahomes might be leading what we could potentially talk about is a dynasty, and what very well could be the greatest dynasty in NFL history because he's only 28 years old. People forget that. When you think about great football dynasties, you think about Brady's Patriots. You think about the Dallas Cowboys of the 90s. You think the Niners of the 80s, the Steelers of the 70s. Now it's the Chiefs of the 2020s at this moment. At least that's what it seems like. And my biggest thing with Baltimore is that Lamar Jackson might never make a Super Bowl because of the way that he played. I don't know what's going to happen in Baltimore. I just know that changes need to happen soon in order for Lamar Jackson to get back to the Super Bowl. And then on the NFC side, San Francisco knocked off Detroit, coming back from down 24-7 to win 34-31. And here's my thing with this. The Detroit Lions, they had their best season in franchise history. Let's just call it what it is. That was their best season in franchise history, no matter whatever way you slice it. And it ticked me off as a Packers fan, because that should have been Green Bay playing Detroit, and Green Bay probably would have won that game also if they played the Lions in that one. Green Bay and Detroit, though, this is my biggest thing. They will be fighting for the next 5 to 10 years for the NFC North. Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers never really had true division rivals when they played. Jordan Love has his with Detroit. Those two, I think, are going to alternate between NFC North division titles for the next 5 to 10 years. Something to keep in mind. So Super Bowl 58 has been set. It's the Kansas City Chiefs against the San Francisco 49ers. These two teams met 4 years ago in Super Bowl 54, where the Chiefs came back from down 10 to beat San Francisco 31-20. This year, it's just a different starting quarterback for the 49ers. They go from Jimmy Garoppolo to Brock Purdy. And Patrick Mahomes will play for his third Super Bowl title in 5 years as well. And I mentioned that Green Bay and Detroit may very well be fighting for NFC North titles for the next few years. Let's now dive into what Green Bay needs to do this offseason, shall we? And my answer to that is yes, I do believe in love. So here's the thing with Green Bay. Jordan Love is eligible for a big extension come May. Once he becomes eligible, the Packers will likely lock him up. They're already in talks about a 5-year mega extension for him that it's going to keep him in Green Bay for the foreseeable future. After that, there's one thing on the docket that should be Brian Gutekunst's top priority. And it's unfortunate, but it needs to be done. And that is David Bakhtiari's contract. He is owed $40 million against the cap next year. If Green Bay either releases him or trades him, because he could very well reunite with Aaron Rodgers in New York or Devontae Adams in Vegas. If he reunites with either of those or they release him, that'll save $20 million against the cap. And let's be real, folks. He hasn't been the same since his torn ACL back in 2020 at the end of the season. He's had 4 surgeries in 5 years. He hasn't been able to be on the field consistently since then. And as a result, it seems like that the best part of his career is over. So I will not be surprised if Green Bay releases him. Now, that doesn't mean that Green Bay isn't in good faith. They still have Zach Tom, who was one of the better right tackles in the NFL this past season. Their left tackle spot, I like Rashid Walker. I don't love him yet, but I think that he could develop more if they decide not to draft a left tackle in the NFL draft, which I think is entirely possible. You've also got Leash Nyman, who's been a good backup, and he can fill in at spots, but he's not really a starter for Green Bay, in my honest opinion. That's just me. Again, that'll save $20.2 million against the cap. The Packers should also restructure some contracts. There's definitely talk about them restructuring. That's what Gutekunst does every year also. He likes to try and restructure deals that benefit for him money-wise so they could go out and draft or get more players. The following contracts should be restructured. Jair Alexander, obviously with the issues that happened with him at the end of the season, him getting suspended, getting suspended, he should at least have his contract restructured. If he doesn't want to restructure, then you're going to be left in a tough spot. That's my big thing. Preston Smith should have his restructured. Preston, to me, he is going to pave way for Lucas Van Ness as well. Za'Darius Smith paved way for Rashawn Gary to have him pop up and play. And now Lucas Van Ness is going to come in and Preston Smith will pave way for him. I have a feeling that Van Ness will be a really good pass rusher, and those two could very well cause some havoc in the years to come. And plus, you got Gary under contract for 4 years. It's definitely something to pay attention to. Elgton Jenkins should also have his restructure. The Packers need to retool the offensive line just a little bit. The big thing is going to be getting either a new left tackle if they decide to go that way, or maybe getting a new center and moving on from Josh Myers. And also Devondre Campbell's a big one. If they end up restructuring Devondre Campbell's deal, then that way you could also focus on building around Quay Walker. Plus, with the new defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley, coming in, his focus is going to be primarily on defensive backs, them pressing up, them forcing the receivers to beat them at the line of scrimmage, which Jair Alexander, that is what he does best. So something to keep in mind as well. That is going to free up another $14 million in cap space. The Packers, by the way, at this moment, have $8 million in cap space. Restructuring the deals plus releasing them will up it to $42 million. And that is going to create room for Jordan Love to get the mega extension. That's just going to do it. The Campbell one, the restructuring Devondre Campbell's deal, will save the most with $4.1 million. You could also restructure Aaron Jones' deal, which I'll get into right now. There are a few free agents I do believe that Green Bay should resign. The first one, in my opinion, should be Keyshawn Nixon. Two-time all-pro kick returners do not come by very often, especially in this day and age where everyone's kicking the ball out of bounds. I think you hang on to him as much as you possibly can. He's not a starting corner by any stretch of the imagination, but it's very, very hard to find a very good kick returner in this league today. Big one, obviously, Darnell Savage. They declined his fifth-year option because he got benched last year. I think that Green Bay should move off of him. Let's just be real about that. He's not a first-round pick. He's not lived up to the hype. I think that both safeties could end up being out of Green Bay when it's all said and done. That's also Rudy Ford as well, which means you've got Anthony Johnson Jr. essentially as your top safety. Jonathan Owens is also a free agent. They have to decide whether to move on from him. Corey Ballantyne is also a free agent. But the biggest free agent, in my opinion, there are two big ones bigger than Nixon that Green Bay should focus on also. John Runyon and A.J. Dillon. Now, Runyon, to me, if you can get him back at an affordable rate for a guard of his caliber, I say that you can. Otherwise, you let him walk. If he is going to get a big contract elsewhere, let him get a big contract elsewhere. I've got no issue with that. The other ones include Daniel Whelan, the punter. Probably should bring him back. Yash Nyman, Patrick Taylor, Josiah DeGuara, Eric Wilson, Emmanuel Wilson, and Caleb Jones. Here's the thing, though. The A.J. Dillon part is interesting. I don't see a scenario where you keep both Dillon and Aaron Jones. If you keep Dillon, you release Jones. If you keep Jones, you move off of Dillon and let him get his money elsewhere. Because he is in the same position that Jamal Williams was in when he was a free agent at the end of his contract, along with Aaron Jones. And Green Bay, obviously, Aaron Jones is a better running back than him. No disrespect. And Jamal Williams went to Detroit, and he got what he needed, and he ended up getting another big contract in New Orleans after that. So I don't see a scenario where you necessarily keep Jones and Dillon together at the same time, but there is the same possibility that they may move off of Jones and focus only on Dillon. I don't think that'll happen, but it's a possibility. Something to keep in mind for the Packers offseason. Be sure to stay tuned. Also, we'll follow Packers offseason news throughout the course of the day. I think in the next couple of weeks, we'll probably also go like a 7-round mock draft, I think, or maybe a free agent that Green Bay should sign. One final topic before we wrap things up. That'll be Badger basketball in the top 10. That's coming up after this here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
John J. Shuni Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Shuni Construction of Tomahawk. Don't be caught by Old Man Winter once he arrives with a furnace that can't handle the job anymore. Instead, call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700. Premier offers the Dave Lennox Signature Collection of furnaces designed from the inside out to look good and work better than ever. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700 for a free estimate for your Lennox heating needs and a great service after the sale with Special Protection Plan memberships available. Lennox, innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling, serving customers from Weston to Woodruff and locations in between. Call 453-4700, online at premierheatingcooling.com, or their showroom at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County Road A, Tomahawk.
We want your business to grow as much as you do. Hi, I'm Carla at Crossbridge Community Bank. There are a lot of things that make banking with us different, but for our area businesses, it's the flexibility and responsiveness we offer. Our loan decisions are made locally, plus we can work fast and offer options when you need them the most. We are the only community bank chartered in Lincoln County and owned by you, the depositors. Your success is our success. Stop in and see what it means to work with a bank that puts purpose first. Visit us online at crossbridge.bank.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday evening at 6:25. Let's go ahead and dive into some more basketball. This time we're going to talk Badgers. The Badger men's basketball team is back in the top 10, ladies and gentlemen. They are officially ranked at number 6, 3 spots ahead of 9th-ranked Marquette as well, and that's mainly because that a lot of top 10 teams lost this past week. Now, the number 6 ranking by Wisconsin is the highest by a Badger team since December of 2020, essentially what happened right after the COVID year. Now, again, there were a lot of losses in the top 10 that allowed Wisconsin to move up, but this Badger team, they are dominating. Losses from top 10 teams like Illinois and Kansas, but now this is what makes this exciting. See, this is the beauty of Big Ten basketball. This is the beauty of a top five matchup, which Wisconsin is going to get when Purdue comes to town Sunday afternoon. Oh my goodness, get your popcorn ready. It's going to be a good one. But before I get to that, let me just go ahead and say this. I talked this a little bit also with Alex Strofe last week. This Badger offense might be the best we have seen since they had Sam Decker and Frank Kaminsky on the squad back in 2013, 2014, and 2014-2015, 10 years ago. I'm not saying it's to that level, but it's definitely close. AJ Storr, what a find he has been for this Badger squad. He's averaging 15 points a game. He right now is looking like an all-Big Ten player. He was all-Big East freshman at St. John's last year. The Badgers are averaging 76 points per game. That's the most by a Badger team since the mid-70s. And it's not just Storr that's stepping up. Steven Crowell is playing absolutely unbelievable. 12 points, 7.5 rebounds a game. Also, Tyler Wall continuing to be consistent in his final year as a starter in Wisconsin. The Badgers' Chucky Hepburn, he has decided to defer to everybody else and become a true point guard, which mad props for him because that is very difficult to do. Steven Crowell, in my opinion, right now is the second best big man in the Big Ten, right behind Zach Edey. He's really performing that well. The Badger offense, this Badger team, this offense is clicking on all cylinders. Greg Gard has done a phenomenal job with this squad this year. He deserves all the credit in the world for what he has done to help build this Badger program back up into a legitimate top 10 team in the country. Now, here's a caveat to that. February begins tomorrow. Right when the calendar turns February, Wisconsin's schedule gets tough. They swept Michigan State. Good on you for sweeping one of the most legendary coaches in college basketball history. Badgers currently sit at 16-4. They're 8-1 in Big Ten play. What needs to happen? they need to have a strong February and March. And that includes a Big Ten tournament. That includes the NCAA tournament. Allow me to explain. Wisconsin has matchups with three top 15 opponents as of right now going into the final month and a half. Two of those are against number two Purdue. One of them coming up on Sunday. The other one coming up the final game of the regular season. The other one is against number 15 Illinois, which will be tough because Taron Shannon is coming back for them. And four of the next six games are on the road. And again, none of these games are cakewalks. Tomorrow night, they got Nebraska. Nebraska has not lost a Big Ten game at home this year. The Cornhuskers are turning into a very good basketball program. Fred Hoiberg is doing a great job rebuilding that program, kind of like what he did at Iowa State before he went to the NBA. After that, they've got Purdue. On the 7th, they got Michigan, which is a week from tonight. Michigan is right now the most disappointing team, in my opinion, in the Big Ten, because Juwan Howard just seems like that he's not having his kids buy in. It seems like that his dust-up with Greg Gard is honestly what has led to his downfall at this point. After that, they go to Rutgers. Rutgers is obviously no cakewalk by any stretch of the imagination. Then you've got Ohio State. Ohio State hung tight with Wisconsin for about three-fourths of that first game until the Badgers ultimately pulled away. And then they go to Iowa, and Iowa has been a house of horrors at time for Wisconsin this year. The two matchups with Purdue and the showdown with Illinois, those particular matchups are the big ones that should be circled. Not overlooking any opponent, because they've got Nebraska coming up tomorrow. Wisconsin, this is a very similar trap game to what happened with them when they went to Penn State. They beat Nebraska the first time out. If they're able to keep up that offensive play like they have been, they will be a tough out in any tournament, regardless if it's Big Ten, NCAA tournament, NIT, even though I don't think that's going to happen like it was last year, they will be a tough out, period. Greg Gard again took his sort of lukewarm seat, just grabbed a great big giant buck of water, dumped all over it to cool it off. Kudos to the Badgers. They're playing incredibly well, currently sitting at number six in the country as we start to head into the final month and a half of the season. Very excited to see what this Badger team can do come March, come Big Ten tournament, come NCAA tournament. Because the Badgers, last time they were in the NCAA tournament, they lost to 11-seeded Iowa State. That was with Johnny Davis on the floor. AJ Storr is probably not on the same level as Johnny Davis, but my goodness, he can shoot. He is a very good offensive player. He's a very good system offensive player. And I think that Wisconsin will be a very tough out no matter who plays him. It's currently 6:31 here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. I'll be back to wrap things up after this.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Hey guys, what are some reasons you like attending St. Mary's School?
We are greeted every morning at the door with a smile, hug, or high five.
We are taught real life skills, good morals, and values every day.
We are given opportunities to learn how to be leaders in every grade.
We learn to help others and give off ourselves through our service projects.
I like that we learn how to write in cursive.
I just like all the good food.
I like that we have smaller class sizes so we get more help when needed.
Both friends and teachers are all very nice.
I like that we are one big school family.
Great to hear from the youngsters at St. Mary's Catholic School as we celebrate Catholic Schools Week. If you would like a tour of St. Mary's School, stop by at 221 East Washington Avenue or call for more information 453-3542 for St. Mary's Catholic School.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 29. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected and foggy early tomorrow. Highs level off around 38. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Right now, 37.
Is your furniture still too nice to throw out, but you need something different? No worries. We take trade-ins and offer great deals every day at Tomahawk Furniture and Gun. Stop in at 109 West Wisconsin Avenue to see our latest lineup and all your hunting needs too. Did you hear? We opened a second location as well. Our new and used furniture and mattress outlet is located at 730 East 2nd Street in downtown Merrill. That's right, two great locations for all your wants and needs. It's Tomahawk Furniture and Gun, downtown Tomahawk, right next to the Pine Tree Supper Club, and our Merrill Furniture and Mattress Outlet on East 2nd Street. Prices so low, you've got to bend over to see them.
Heading into 2024, Gary will begin his 39th year in business, offering service to our Northwoods communities and making him the longest operating auto dealer in the area. If you're looking for a new-to-you vehicle in this new year, well, then make sure you check out their inventory with the best selection of vehicles in the area. There's cars, trucks, SUVs, over 40 units to choose from. And if you can't find exactly what you're looking for on the lot, Gary can help you find your next vehicle. The Auto House has a selection of rental vehicles if you need one, and that's what you call doing business the right way for nearly 40 years. At the Auto House on North 4th in Tomahawk. They're online at autohousecars.net. That's AUTOHAUS cars.net.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ as we begin our final countdown. Let's go ahead and take a look at the Hatchet events coming up over the next few days. Coming up on Friday, Tomahawk basketball teams will be taking on Rhinelander. JV games 5:45, varsity 7:15. Tomahawk boys swimmers will have their Great Northern Conference meet in Medford. Good luck to the boys. Events begin at 5 o'clock. Our next broadcast of Hatchet Sports is on Saturday. Hatchet Wrestling will have their Great Northern Conference meet in Antigo. Barron Orthodontics pregame show at 9:35, events at 10 o'clock. Tony Derlett will join me in the broadcast booth on Saturday from Antigo. Monday, Hatchet basketball doubleheader at Tri-County. Barron Orthodontics pregame show at 5:15. Girls tip will be at 5:30. Boys game will follow right after. And then on Tuesday, both Tomahawk basketball teams will be taking on Lakeland. JV games at 5:45 and varsity tip-off is at 7:15. And we'll have the second round of the Great Northern Conference tournament on the air for you as Tomahawk takes on fourth seeded Mosinee. Fairman Orthodontics pregame show at 6:35, opening face-off at 7 o'clock. Zach Garner will join me in the broadcast booth from Sarah Park in Tomahawk on Tuesday night. A lot of exciting stuff. Postseason almost here for the Hatchets, obviously, as you know, with conference coming up, obviously, conference tournament in action for hockey, conference swimming coming up on Friday, and conference wrestling coming up on Saturday in Antigo. Thank you for letting me be a part of your week once again and a part of the Sports Q here on WJJQ. We're going to play some Hatchet hockey highlights from their first round matchup with Medford, in which they won 11-2. Again, they'll be taking on Mosinee in the GNC tournament semifinals coming up on Tuesday. Otherwise, thank you very much. Next week, we will have Hatchet hockey coach Dewey Riley on. Also, the Hatchet hockey brackets will be released, so be sure to keep an eye out for that. Next week, we'll go ahead and preview that for you. And in the meantime, enjoy Hatchet hockey highlights from them knocking off Medford last night. Thank you very much for tuning in. Have a spectacular week. I'm Alex Cook, and I'll see you next time. Tuesday evening, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Alex Cook. We're coming to you from Sarah Park here in Tomahawk, where tonight your Tomahawk Hatchets open Great Northern Conference tournament play as they welcome the Medford Raiders. And right back in the broadcast booth with me is Zach Garner. Zach, welcome back. Hard to believe the postseason is here.
Yeah, a little bit of a prequel, kind of a tease for the postseason. It's not quite the granddaddy, the elimination, but you know, the conference tournament, a new addition to the GNC in the last few years, but I think it's catching on.
Well, faceoff is won by the Hatchets, and we're going to begin with Rex Riley dumping it into the Medford zone. And the Raiders will go and touch it up. Isaac Schaefer, who's their leading scorer, swings it across the ice, intercepted by Hannah, centers it to Caleb Dickens. Caleb shoots, and he scores!
That's the way you get into the game. I said score quick, and
there you go.
Anticipating 14 seconds.
16, to be 16, exact.
Sorry.
There you go. Yes, Caleb Dickens gets the first goal of the night for the Hatchets, and just like that, it's 1-0. Yeah, face-off won by the Hatchets. Austin Waymore, the shot saved by Albers. Rebound in front of the net. Reichel tries to get the shot in. Loose puck right in front of the net, and he scores! Sawyer Hanna gets the goal for the Hatchets. 2-0, 14:32 to go, first period. Riley looking to operate, handles it, gets it back. Weichel back over to Kalem. And Lamer with a one-time shot, and he scores! Austin Lamer!
Yeah, beautiful puck movement there, picking out the open. We saw Caleb Dickens from that sideboard position where he's kind of quarterbacking the play a little bit from the sideboards where he distributed the puck. He tried to hit Rex Riley back behind the net or coming down the weak side. And then that time he distributed up to Austin, who had wide open space, and a lot of that is because of that movement.
Here comes Caleb Dickens looking to operate. Caleb looking shot, saved by Albers with his leg. That'll be scooped right back to Caden Kennedy for Medford, kept in the Medford zone by Lamer. And that will go right to Rex Riley. Riley looking, will try and center it up. That pass deflected. Loose puck in front of the net. Shot Hanna, and he scores! Sawyer Hanna with a great response. It looks like that went off the skate of Talon Albers, at least from this angle. But Tomahawk gets their fourth goal of the period. 1:17 to go. It's 4-1. And instead, that'll bounce right back off the boards to Logan Seymour. Logan over to Landon. 46 seconds to go on the power play. Logan tries to leave it for Landon on the give and go here. Rebound in front of the net. Brent Lamer shoots, and he scores! Brayden Lamer gets the goal, squeezes it right by Taylor Albers, 5-1. Tomahawk, 14-21 to go. Second period, second power play goal of the night. Rebound grabbed by Carson Childers all the way back out of the blue line. And instead, Logan Seymour will fight for it with Kasunica. Logan tries to leave it for Jonah. Back to Logan, back to Jonah, and he slips it right by Albers, and he scores. Austin Lamer now with a goal and two assists as well, so he is 1 point away from 50 as well, so something to keep in mind. Hatchet's going to have two players with 50 points by the end of the night. Faceoff won by the Hatchets. Caleb shoots, and he scores! Caleb Dickens off the faceoff, just like that, puts Tomahawk up 7-1 with 11:36 to go in the second period. Back out to Austin Lamer. Lamer looking to handle it. Lamer looking to operate, tries to find somebody, avoids a big check, leaves it for Rex Riley, over to Caleb Dickens. Caleb with a shot, rebound, and he scores! That one actually went right by the goaltender Albers. It bounced literally on the inside of the post and popped out. The ref counts it as a goal. Dickens with a hat trick. It's 8-2 with 6:43 to go in the second period. And now Caleb Dickens will leave it for Reichel. Reichel looks to operate. Phillips corrals it, who just had the penalty. That's the first time Medford has been able to kill a penalty in this one out of three. And now Sawyer Hanna tries to fight for it. That one right off the side of the net. Loose puck right in front. And that one is a goal! Sawyer Hanna pokes it right by Talon Albers, and Sawyer Hanna gets the goal. It's 9-2 Tomahawk, 8 minutes to go in this one. Riley looks, tries to center it, now leaves it for Samuelson. He'll try and send it right back up to Austin Lamer. Now Tomahawk is going to go ahead and just try and clear it, looping it right back around Lamer with a nice move. Lamer on a breakaway. Lamer, he shoots, and he scores! Austin Lamer gets his second goal of the night, and the Hatchets have put a 10-spot up on Medford for the second time this year with 4:38 to go in the third. To Pat Samuelson. Now here come the Hatchets with a 2-on-2. Here comes Pat, tries to make a move, and now we have a big fight. Bodies flying. Mason Jake scoops it up. Jake shoots, and he scores! Mason Jakes gets the goal. That puck was left right in no man's land for the Hatchets. Jake scoops it up, gets the goal. 11-2, Tomahawk with 20 seconds to go in the third. Tomahawk gets the victory over Medford tonight. They move on to the second round of Great Northern Conference Tournament. Final score, number 1 seeded Tomahawk 11, number 8 seeded Medford 2.
You've been listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community, right here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk.